right. My name is Bridget Huff, and I am 47 years old. And today is April 24th, and I'm speaking with Lyon Winchester, or Terry Lyon Badham Winchester, who is my grandmother. And we are recording this interview in Landenburg, Pennsylvania. So, grandmother, are there any positive moments or memories from your life that you think shaped who you are today?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Come to think of it, when I broke my leg probably that first time, that probably shaped me a good bit.
And how's that? What happened?
I broke it really hard playing for Red Rover in the rain. We had a pavilion that was built outside Mrs. Lotsby's school for rainy weather, so we wouldn't miss any athletics. But anyway, there I was, you know. And I tripped, of course, because it was depression time. And people were losing money and everybody was very upset about it. And Mother had decided to become helpful with the depression, and she had decided to get all of my clothes a size or two too large. So, of course, I couldn't run in my prison galoshes. They flapped. They went like that. So, there I was, flapping along, and fell down naturally after a while. Then what happened? Let's see. So then I thought, ooh, that hurt so awfully bad. And then I realized that it was worse than I'd thought. And Mr. Lunsford, who was a great big rah-rah-rah football type, with blonde hair, and he wasn't all that smart, but he was really nice. Good old Mr. Lunsford. And he said, oh, I think she has done something. I don't know what. So anyway, he picked me up and dragged me off to Mrs. Lotsby's beautiful car and shoved me in the back seat, and I'm screaming my head off by this time. And dragged me home, all the way home to Hyde Park. And then she manages to get me up the steps onto Mother's couch, which we just got rid of about 10 years ago, maybe. That wonderfully soft one with the eiderdown interior. So there I was. But I'll tell you, I think breaking it that way, and it was a really bad break, definitely did, because here I am in a very athletic school. And I'm not exactly athletic at this point. I never was, but I was much worse. So anyway, that's what happened to me, and that was my bad moment.
And they kept you home for about a year, right?
We were leisurely. At least about school, we were leisurely.
Excuse me. And so what did they, in those days, how did they set a leg?
I imagine we don't really want to know, but anyway. I think they had I think they had ways to take pictures, like, you know, what do you call it when they take a picture of your bones?
X-rays?
I think they could x-ray things. Pretty sure they did.
Mm-hmm.
Broken. So anyway, there I was, and the family, of course, thought, oh dear, well, they adored me because I was the only child they had coming along. And they would have anyway, they were that way. So I was talking about spoiled. Oh my goodness, I was spoiled. So anyway, they got me a little bit better, enough so I could walk around a little bit, and then lots around. And then what did we do? We all went off to Santa Fe.
What was Santa Fe like in those days?
Oh, it was kind of neat. I ate it. The children didn't like it because there really wasn't anything for kids to do out there. But look at the, it was a dusty, dirty down, brown, sandy mud. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of Indians with droopy feathers and drums occasionally. And they had little shops they tried to start, the poor little Indians. And for children, there really wasn't much of anything you wanted to do, ever. They had a lot of horses.
But it had a big impact on you.
Well, yeah, it was a total change of scenery, you might say.
Yeah. And how long, so you took the train out there?
Yeah, we did.
How long did that take?
A couple of days, at least. Maybe three. It was a long time.
And then you stayed in Santa Fe for how long?
Oh, at least 6 months, maybe.
Oh, wow.
But long, that long, anyway. And it's pretty exciting. So that's all I know on that subject.
Mm-hmm. And so you skipped, or you lost a year of school because of that.
Well, they certainly didn't bring me back.
What was, can you describe Mrs. Lott's speech's school and what the idea of the whole school was and how many kids were there?
Mrs. Lott's speech was a great big woman. I thought she was German actor. She was English, believe it or not. And a great big fat woman, very red in the face. And she had white hair, which was really, I don't know whether it was white or blonde, but anyway, she wore it with a little fine hairnet. And she didn't talk, she roared at you. She never, you know, it was rrrr. But for some reason, she really liked me. And I was very glad, and I was very, very glad that she liked me, because if she didn't like you, it was really bad. People, you know, had little breakdowns and things. Children did have nervous breakdowns. Usually Mrs. Lott's speech was in the breakdown.
How many kids did she have at her school?
Not seem like today, about 28.
Oh, wow. Okay.
To a class. Whether they lasted or not was another story. So, anyway, it was very cold because she didn't believe in anything but fresh air, and it was cold in Cincinnati in the middle of winter. So anyway, she let us have to, you know, find out about that. And she had these great huge windows that went down to the floor, and she'd get those all open, blowing on us. So we were really, really cold. And we had to sit there in snowsuits finally. It was just that cold with mittens. I remember the mittens, how hard it was to use even a crayon. It was very hard. So, anyway, that was my life there.
And how long were you at Mrs. Lott's speeches?
Oh, from the time I was in kindergarten up until about the sixth grade.
And then you went to Miss Doherty's?
No, they tried me out over at Hillsdale. But I was not studying, and they were serious about studying over there. So that was not so good. They wouldn't give me any more financial aid because they looked at my grades and they said, oh my. So then they said, well, Mother said, well, she'll just have to go to public school, that's all. Of course, Mother had a fit at the thought of public school, but anyway, that's where I was going to be consigned to, like the ash can was public school. So, but I didn't quite go to public school because Mother went to a tea party. or some little function in the afternoon, and ran into Miss Jones and Miss Farron, whom she had been to school with at Miss Doherty's in the earlier years when she was a student. And they remembered her, of course. They were all schoolmates, actually. And they were nice women, so nice. I didn't think so at the time, but they really were good people. So she said to them, "Well, Lyon's just going to have to go and tough it out at public school. She's been very naughty about her lessons." Of course, that wasn't exactly true, because Mother took a trip whenever she could think of one, you know. Mm-hmm. And just would all, we'd all leave. So that was not exactly the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, but anyway, off we'd go. So they said, "Oh, Dorothy, we can't have your child going to public school. That's terrible." So they said, "Of course we'll take her." Mother said, "Well, we can't pay anything." And they said, "Oh, we don't mind. She's your daughter, you know. We don't mind." So Mother really hastily took advantage of that. And so that fall, I find myself in a pale blue cotton uniform skirt with a white blouse and a navy blue sweater. And I'm at Miss Doherty's. Instead of the green uniform out at Hillsdale. Mm.
Which do you think, what school had the biggest impact on you?
Oh, Doherty. Oh. I was in Hillsdale more than a whisk. Anyway, that was that.
So can you describe your mother and your grandmother? Describe your mom.
Mother really was rather pretty. She had a very delicate sort of pretty figure. She was, you know, she was really strong because she'd played golf for years and years and years, so she had muscles of steel. But she looked pleasantly thin and weak, but she was not. So anyway, she had dark, great dark eyes. Okay, she was an Irish type that we're all familiar with, because you have the same type. Mm-hmm. You're a lot healthier looking than Mother was, but no more so than actually she was very healthy. And what else about Mother's looks? Only thing upsetting about Mother's looks, she had the most beautiful white teeth. They were so white. But they stuck out. Like, which was such a shame. Oh. And they've kind of spoiled things. Outside of that, she was a really, would have been a raving beauty.
And what was her temperament like?
She was very sweet sometimes, but she also had a really wild temper when she'd get going. Ah. And I'd get spanked a lot, and she'd say that I had to go out and get my switch, you know, and cut it off, find it, and bring it back in. You can imagine the size of the switch I'd bring back. Well, we did fairly well together. She got very skinny because she was so upset at her demoted social rank, because they were poor at that point and people were beginning to get the idea. And that's always upsetting. So she had to worry about that and feel bad about it. And hard for her.
And she played cello, is that right?
Yeah, she played pretty well.
Okay.
I'm picky, but she did. She was low level concert. She could keep up, and it was pretty good.
Did she have any other interests other than golf and cello?
She could speak pretty decent French. She did. Golf, of course, was the main one because we lived on a golf course and our business was golfing, and they all liked to play. My mother liked to draw because she was pretty artistic too. We could all draw a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And she liked that, of course. She liked, what else did she like? She liked to run things, I'll say that for mother. But she acted very pitiful, you know, because she was not, she didn't look strong at all. She looked delicate. And I don't think mother was one bit delicate. She just pretended to be delicate.
And how about Mame, her mother?
Oh, grandmother, that's the one that really raised me up. And she was, I really had fun with grandmother. She had red hair, and by the time I was around, it was daddy dark red instead of bright red. She was really happy over that. Because people in those days hated red hair. They thought it was the mark of the devil or something. And the black people just practically hid when they saw a red-headed woman coming in as the head of the household. They were terrified because they figured they had tempers, which they did, lots of them. So, what was I on to now?
Your grandmother, Mary.
Oh, my grandmother. So, I was supposed to call her grandmother, but I couldn't make that, so I called her Nan Dan. And that worked, because they all knew who I meant. And she could be pretty ferocious, but she didn't do that to me. She liked me, so. She adored me, so there, that was a good situation, you know. They have the scariest member of the household just adore you. Yeah.
What sorts of things would you do with Dan Dan?
We played Russian bang. We did, it was really hard.
What was Russian bank?
That's a hard game. I'll show you someday if I
okay.
remember it. What in the hell did you do to that dog's ears?
Oh, she just has one floppy ear and one straight ear.
It's so ragged, though. Though somebody had chewed it off.
They used to stand straight up, both of them.
Oh.
And she looked like a little bat. And then one day, one ear just went and flopped down. It's been like that ever since.
Oh. Somebody bit her, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, not our problem, is it now?
Mm-mm.
No.
So Russian bank, is that a card
Russian
game?
Russian bank is a card game.
Okay.
And you deal it out like gin rummy, only it gets harder.
Okay.
That's all I can say about gin, that particular game, because I've forgotten, but we can easily look it up. Pretty good game.
Mm-hmm.
And you can play it single or double. Or maybe even it was quadruple, I don't remember. But certainly double. And it goes very fast.
Mm-hmm.
You have to catch all the holes that are open to put things in
mm-hmm.
before somebody else sticks something in there.
Oh, okay. I'll have to try it. That sounds fun.
Well, it's you have to concentrate really fast. You might probably be of your age. You should be able to do it really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a good game. So what else do I have? Russian bank. What else was there? Hopscotch was pretty good. And much else.
What was it like growing up with your grandmother and mother in the house together? Were they, did they get along, or did they, were their personalities really different?
Yes, mother was much fussier. Grandmother was fussy, but in a different way. Grandmother, my grandmother, was kind of rough and tough, or actually not rough and tough, but she was something you didn't want to come up against because she was very strong-minded. And my mother acted much more like a young, older lady, you know, or an older, middle-aged woman. It was very charming and so on. And grandmother didn't even make any attempt to be that way. So, but I had fun with her, I really did. I felt safe with grandmother. Boy, she told you something, you did it. You had to do what she said, and then she would do what you said. And anyway, we got along beautifully. So, I miss her still. I wonder each day, I'll think, I wonder what Grandma would have said about that.
Can you tell me about one of the people who has been kindest to you in your life?
Well, as a young person, you have been as a youngster. As an older person, harder to say. Mm-hmm. As an older person.
Want some water? Over there? Water?
Like she didn't ever get angry or anything, but she did. She could be so mean.
Your mom?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she looked so pitifully slender and dainty, you know. Mm. Grandmother, you always knew right from the moment you looked at her that she could be trouble. But she had that. When I first knew her, she had kind of bright and reddish hair, which shaded down to auburn. And she was short. And she was awfully, awfully cute, except she had fat legs. Now, they all had that. It was so sad because Mother was very nice looking, except her legs were a little heavy for her build. Grandmother definitely had what you might call fat legs. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I had my father's legs.
So, now, your grandmother grew up in Georgetown, Ohio, right? And her father was a lawyer, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And her father was...
Her father was... Let me think a minute. This is ridiculous. I'm losing my mind.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. I can't remember. I just want to go to sleep.
No. Well, not... Wake up. More coffee.
That was my
say name. That again.
John Randolph Moore.
All right. Can you describe one of your very happiest memories?
Happiest. I think leaning out a window upstairs on Menlo Avenue and smelling the breeze with lilies of the valley in the smell. Les Muguets du Bois. I remember that.
How old were you?
Probably not much more than 8. Les Muguets du Bois.
And Menlo Avenue, is that the house that backed up against the golf course?
Yes.
Oh, it's pretty pretty little house.
It was a sweet house. Well, at least it was sort of interesting.
All right, for your great-great-grandchildren listening to this years from now, is there any wisdom you'd want to pass on to them?
Well, let me think. Never steal. Tell the truth. Mm-hmm. You can get in a lot of trouble telling the truth, but you really should tell the truth. And never steal. What else should we never do? That's all I can think of right now.
That's all right. Did you ever steal anything when you were little?
I must have, because it's ingrained heavily. Remember it, so I should have. I think they got to me before I ever did it.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you'll be sorry. Yeah, because grandmother was wonderful, but she also could be awfully mean sometimes. And she was strong. Little thing, but oh my. Ooh, so. When she got after you, you were awfully upset.
What was Cincinnati like during the Depression in the 1930s? How do you remember it?
I remember it when looking out our grandmother's back window, which was a series of long windows upstairs, her bedroom windows. Excuse me. I look out of those across the nearest hill on the golf course. And beyond that, I knew that was Madison Avenue. That was the big road, which is still there, I guess, and heavily used. What else did you ask me?
What Cincinnati was like during the Depression in the 1930s, it was like growing up in that town then.
Well, it's for the people who didn't lose any money. It was the same as ever, and they had a lovely, lovely time. For me, not quite so lovely because, A, to begin with, my mother and father were separated, not divorced, but separated, because he just couldn't stop drinking. And mother really was very fond of daddy, but she couldn't be responsible for him or take that forever. So they were separated. That was sad, but necessary, I think, really. And what else can you do? Because addictions have not changed that much.
What do you remember about your father?
He had nice-looking knee socks. He did.
What color were they?
I don't remember, but they matched, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And he had knickers in tweed. And he had, he just looked pulled together. He always did. Good-looking Stetson hat of some sort that he picked up. He was always, you know, beautifully dressed. Well, and he was as nice as could be. Everybody loved Daddy. And they were so upset to see him stuck in this, you know. The Hollisters had been the big, important, rich family in Cincinnati that were roommates at Yale, so they had insisted that he move to Cincinnati.
Oh, that's how he ended up.
Yeah, that's how he got there.
I didn't know that. Okay.
So he did. And then he proceeded to just act simply dreadfully. So they were sorry they asked him. I don't think he could stop it. In fact, he had told Mother, he said, "Well, you know, I don't think we should marry because I'm going to die. I can't stop this. Whatever it is, it's got me. I can't stop." And he was raped. He couldn't seem to stop. And they never knew why. I don't think they know why now. But he was a nice guy. In spite of all that, he was.
Do you have any advice for other people who are struggling with addiction? It's something that you personally have struggled with, but have overcome.
I say overcome with Daddy and everything and myself. I didn't overcome that. I just woke up the next morning, gone.
Really?
That was a really weird happenstance. I had gone to bed thinking about it, or maybe telling someone like you about it, or something, and I went to bed as more or less as usual, and went to sleep, and probably dreamt about the problem I had with addictions in the point that it was my father was addicted heavily, and we all knew it. And he had said he didn't think he could survive it; he couldn't stop. To the point where he didn't want to marry Mother because he had said that.
But you just went to bed and you woke up the next morning
and gone.
That was it.
But it was not that way with smoking. Oh, no.
Tell me about that. How'd you quit smoking?
Well, that was entirely different. I had terrible sinus trouble. I mean, you know, bad, it hurt, and I couldn't breathe, and all the nasty things about sinus trouble I had. But when I hoped someday that I'd wake up and it would be gone, but it never was. It was entirely different. I had to really work on getting rid of that one. Oh, that was so hard.
But you gave it up?
Yes, it wasn't me. That one was, very difficult.
All right. Well, before we close, I wanted to ask you the story of one of the lions going through the Ohio Valley and the Indian. Do you remember that story?
Somebody had a page around of something he wrote on a trip. Lewis?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe?
Lewis Lyon?
I vaguely remember. Did you have that?
I don't. I thought you might know it.
Pamela probably does know it. She's smart enough to run around and collect everything years and years and years ago. So what were you going to say?
No, I remember you telling a story of one of the lions going down through Pennsylvania and walking all the way through the Ohio Valley, and fell asleep, and he woke up, and he saw a great big Indian. Do you remember that story?
Oh, what he said, yeah. They had laughed about that for generations, practically, about how scared he was. I mean, it was a really big Indian. Because mostly, I guess, they were very smallish size, you know, or not like that. He said, oh, when he woke up, he saw this tremendously big Indian, he just leaning over him like that, and laughing. I go, ha, ha, ha. And that scared him even worse, so that was what happened to him.
And who was that?
That probably not grandmother's father, but her grandfather probably.
Okay.
I'm guessing, but that would be almost right, I think. That he'd taken a little trip. And they were used to taking foot trips, you know, long trips on foot, or with mules, or some old horse or something, you know. Mm-hmm. They were used to that.
He's the one with the rifle, right?
Oh, they all had rifles.
Oh.
I think when they were 11, they expected them to have a rifle. That was kind of the handing over time, hadn't they? I know, I think grandfather did. They didn't think too much of it.
Yeah.
But they'd been well trained. They knew how to shoot. And how, well, first of all, they had to learn how to keep the gun clean, perfectly clean, and then they had to learn how to load it and unload it and fire when ready and clean it out again. They had to learn all that stuff. And they were very careful about that part. They were very careful about.
You were a pretty good shot yourself.
No, I have nothing on.
Mom, can I make eggs?
Yeah, sure.
Do we have any eggs?
We sure do. They're in the fridge.
I bet we do. Nothing worse than an old leftover Easter egg. Ugh. Haven't you found them a year later and gone, oh my God.
Pretty gross, yeah.
It is gross. It is.
It's disgusting. It's been nice spending the morning with you.
Yes. These are all people we know well because they're all little bits and pieces in us, I think, don't you?
I sure do.
Somewhere inside of me, you're stuck in there. Yeah. And grandmother, first of all, because she was the one I spent the most time with, the closest, probably influenced me the most. And mother. Mother had her ways, boy. She didn't fool around when she got angry. And I had a very, on the whole, nice childhood. I mean, certainly could have been a lot worse. And I felt sort of sad because I didn't really have a mother and father like the other kids did, you know, our household. Were a house where they all lived together and then went to see the grandparents.
Yeah.
But,
so I didn't see, I didn't have that. I missed that. But you can't have everything. And I did have other nice things, so I try to think about that as much as possible.
What are you most proud of when you look back on your life and your own accomplishments?
Oh.
What do you feel like you really got right?
I wrote a couple of little compositions that were really pretty good. And then, of course, after we'd misplaced you, I guess. In a sense, we misplaced you. And then I saw you, or everybody saw you in the room with the little... I was going to say fence. It was a little fencing off of the babies and things. And we just all said immediately, oh, that's ours, or something like that. Forget it. Let go of that one. That's ours. And they said, oh, no, no, no. Oh, no. Yes, he is. So anyway, we were very unanimous. They had absolutely nothing to do. But listen to us. And that was interesting. That was made me proud that at least for once we all reacted more or less in unison, which is very unusual in this family.
Mm-hmm.
Very unusual.
And Granddaddy was on the same page?
Oh, he was surprisingly there. He was the most vociferous. That was not like Grandfather. To be that determined about something that far out of his, we thought, jurisdiction, but he was probably the noisiest.
Wow. What was it like in those first few months? That must have been pretty rough, because you were, what, 46, 47?
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I think we'd had you so long, one way or another, that we didn't think anything of it. I don't think we were a family that counted up years either on birthdays or anything. I think we just went from one place to another, or one year to another. Mm-hmm. Probably. Who knows, after all so many years. But it was nice. Mostly my childhood was fairly decent.
If you were going to pick a career, what would you have done for a career?
I've often wondered about that. I didn't do very much now, did I?
No, you did quite a bit.
I mean, I fooled around a lot. But anyway, I guess I would have. I could have done radio announcing. I could have done little pictures, essays, that type thing. I couldn't have done terribly much, really.
Oh, you could have done quite a bit, yeah.
I don't know, tell me some, in case.
You're an awfully good writer.
I could have written little stories. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Do you have any advice for writers?
I think that's something you have to feel. I do.
Did you keep a little journal when you were
young? No, I never ever had a journal. If I couldn't remember it, I'd just make up a new story. Life was fairly, as kids go, I have a feeling I had a pretty nice life. I've got all these adoring people that I had to do what I wanted them to do, I thought. And actually they did sort of have to. So, how many kids get a setup like that?
True, absolutely.
Because grandfather was the most easygoing man in the world. But he didn't necessarily like babies. In fact, I don't think he did. But he pretended anyway that he thought I was great. I think he did, or he wouldn't have.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have put up with all that. So. Anyway, life is exciting. It's really exciting. Funny how I still miss that old place on Menlo, which was no great big deal, really. It was a small little house that grandmother had found. His grandfather never wanted to settle down. He said, I don't need a house, ma'am. I have a house up in Brown County or whatever. He's referring to the farm, which had already been divided amongst all her cousins. He refused to believe that, I think, really. He thought of it as his, alone.
I didn't know that.
It wasn't really, but he thought so. And
Well, thank you for your time today, Grandmother.
Love to talk.
I love to hear. Love to listen.
Well, we're almost back in those times sometimes. Almost. Well, it's not so long from you, because you're my child's child. You are my child's grandchild?
No, I'm your grandchild, your grandchild.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. I do get mixed up now.
No, not so much.
But when I sit down quietly and compose myself, I can correct it generally.
You do all right.
And I do enough for this era. I don't need to do any better.
No, you sure don't.